The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Tuna.
KHJ Los Angeles.
9 o'clock in Los Angeles. I see your sunburn too. Good morning. My face is a bright red today, and I found out if you can stick my finger in my ear, you can use my head as a nightlight.
But I like to get to know you.
Here I am, the noon buffoon at 12 o'clock. It's my anniversary today. I've often described our marriage as a game of cards. We started off with a pair. I showed a diamond, she showed a flush. There was a big shuffle, and we wound up with a full house.
Boss Radio, maintaining our heavyweight cool 24 hours a day for your listen enjoyment, because you're looking good, baby. Get the KHJ Jet Set Tie right here at the Real Don Steele Show, minutes away from that brand new exclusive on Boss Radio from the Monkees. Now at 5:15 here at the Real Dodge Deal Show, get set to join the jet set with your choice of dream trip from Boss Radio. All the boss lines are now open, and I'll take the fifth call. All number five, baby.
Boss Radio, KHJ.
Wow. Morning, everybody, on a Saturday, September the 16th. Take you back, right? 2023, 710 KNUS Radio, free Denver, 77 to high, 83 on Sunday. Please say good morning and welcome to the radio show. The one, the only, Woody Golart is our guest. Hey, Wood, good morning, man. Thanks for doing this show, and thanks for setting it up, and thanks for doing the work on Top 40. And you're a welcome addition, brother, man. So good morning.
Good morning to you. I am happy to be here.
Talk about yourself and the business. I was trying to figure how old you are now, and that's a lousy question, but I'm an old guy. Yeah.
I am about 300 Earth years old. No, I'm kidding. I am. I was born in 1950, okay. Or 1850, as I think of it. So I am 73 this today.
Hey, well, you know, we got a really bad connection. Louis is going to jump in and redial, and let's try and get you in a clean spot. Okay, so okay. I'm going to hang up. Like so many of you, when you hear those jingles and you hear those on-airs, man, I mean, it just knocks you back. And that sound effect, that background sound of what it was, and that was called Top 40 Radio, Boss Jocks. And I knew many of them, and they influenced what I did, and they, I'm sure so many of you just sat and listened to them, especially some of those, the big names, if you were from L.A. or places like that. Let's try it again. Hey, Woody, let's see if this is a little cleaner, man. You're back. Let's voice test it again.
Voice test. My name is Woody.
I think it sounds better. What do you got? So when did you get into the business and into the radio business?
I grew up in a small town in California, San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy on the radio. He was, his name on the air was Mac the Scotch Hillbilly.
Whoa.
And his real name was Don McLeod. And maybe he was of Scottish ancestry, I don't know. But he was a really, really vivid on-the-air radio guy. And this was in the 1950s. I was very young, and he played country music. I grew up with that in the listening, old stuff today, but it was so fresh in those days. Your Cheatin' Heart, Collide.
Sure.
I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, all that stuff. So anyway, he made a big impression on me, and I wanted to grow up to be like him. Not so much country music, mm-hmm. but I wanted to be an air personality like Mac the Scotch Hillbilly. And so I went to college, got a degree in journalism. Imagine that.
Yeah.
That was, what a choice. You know, today it's considered the death if you have a degree in journalism, the death of your career. But in those days, this was before Watergate, and news was still trusted, all that stuff. So I then went to work in Los Angeles, Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard, and that's how I met the Boss Radio people, Bill Drake and Gene Chenault. And this was about 10 years, not quite 10 years after their success in Hollywood in 1965. They were very successful. It changed everything about radio.
Absolutely. But if I may just jump in and ask questions, what dates do you put on Top 40? I mean, Top 40, and does Top 40 still exist?
Well, the names are different in the so-called formats. You know, you were in the previous hour, you talked about talk radio. Mm-hmm. We have talk television that dates back. I remember in the 60s watching Joe Pine on television.
Sure.
George Putnam on television. So Top 40 started in the 50s, and there was a legendary radio pioneer named from Texas named Gordon McClendon, and he had a lot of vision about what radio could be. And people don't credit McClendon so much with the creation of Top 40, but he spread it around.
Do you buy the Todd Storrs stories about?
I was going to say Todd Storrs, and he was sitting in a bar, and blah blah blah. It's been repeated so many times.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think people would, if you're in a bar and you're listening to the people select the same songs over and over, and he figured out over a couple of years, yes. Well, there are 40 songs, so let's call it Top 40.
For the people that aren't on the inside of the business, there was this story about this guy, Todd Storrs, Storrs Broadcasting, and I think of all places, they were allegedly in like Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes.
And he and his dad are sitting in a bar. Or in a restaurant. Sometimes it's a restaurant, sometimes it's a bar, with a big juke, and the light went on. But before that, there was something on the radio called Your Hit Parade.
Yes.
And so I've always kind of looked at that story and said, "Oh, Todd Storrs decides Top 40." But before that, I think Your Hit Parade went on television for a while as well. The top 10 songs in America today. So I've always been leery of the Storrs Broadcasting story. Take me back to the guy from Texas.
Yes, Gordon McClendon. Actually, he's credited with inventing talk radio.
Yeah.
There were Mexican radio stations.
Oh, boy.
In Rosarito, Tijuana, Mexico.
Yep.
Wolfman Jack is the radio name.
Yeah.
He has a real name, and I can't remember it right now. But
Robert Smith.
There you go. Yeah. Very good. You win the trip to Bermuda.
That's
and
right. And the new car and what's behind the curtain.
That's right. So anyway, McClendon had a lot of vision about what radio could be. It wasn't about, let's make a lot of money, which he did, but it was about entertaining people. And in those days, I think music is at the source of every cultural, the things that are important culturally, it's really about the music. So fast forward to the 1960s, people learned from what McClendon had done in Los Angeles. Hollywood was, and still is, the center of the culture from the West Coast anyway. New York and the East. And there was a lot of talk, people who are on the radio, the disc jockeys they talked and they talked and they talked. You know, like you could have 8-10 minutes of commercials, and then the disc jockey would talk another 10 minutes, not straight, but if you added everything up, that's too much. So then Boss Radio comes along in 1965 in May, and they cut everything down. You never heard an announcer talk at all over the intro of a song, and that was a radical change. It just changed everything overnight, starting in Hollywood, and then it spread to other California cities, San Francisco, and then around the country.
Then boom, yeah. Then boom after that. So when I mean, I'm an old guy too, and a real old guy, but I grew up in Pittsburgh, and the top 40 station was they were all AMers, but it was KQV. But we alternatively listened to, I grew up on a radio station, WAMO, W-A-M-O, and it was a black station because we were with one white afternoon jock by the name of Porky Chadwick. But the top 40, but when, you finally go to another city and somebody turns on the radio and you go, oh, my God, that radio station sounds like KQV, but it just, it just is in another city. So they were lifting from one another, were they not?
Yes. Well, and the people that the corporation that had radio stations that first carried this format, Boss Radio, the company was RKO Radio,
yeah,
which was connected directly to the RKO Film Company. And it's a very, very, very long story, very boring, but...
No, it's not. Please.
You're being polite, but these people had a lot of time on their hands, and so they said, hey, let's have radio stations all around the country. And they were in New York, WOR in New York. KHJ was a newcomer, relatively speaking. And then they decided... The ratings in Los Angeles were for KHJ owned by RKO Radio. The ratings were very low, and they had things on. Think about this. They had Steve Allen and his wife, Jane Meadows, right? Steve Allen is someone that I so respected. One of the funniest people I have ever heard. He had a television show. He was the original host.
Tonight.
The Tonight Show, yeah. I think you did that, you listened to. And but so in the early 60s, Steve Allen and Jane Meadows, his wife, were on KHJ live from their home in the San Fernando Valley. I wasn't there, so I didn't hear it. But what would someone talk about? A live show from their kitchen in Tarzana or wherever they lived, I don't know. And so it was failing in the ratings. And then people at RKO found this guy, Bill Drake, in Fresno, California. If you want to pick a trend-setting city, where do you go? Fresno, California.
Great line.
What is Fresno? What is it known for? Raisins. It's the raisin capital of the world. Who cares?
Wow.
So, that's where Drake was working. Oh, no, actually, Drake was in San Francisco, and his partner, business partner, Gene Chenault, owned a radio station in Fresno, and that station was very successful. And if people have tape today of that radio station, you would say, hey, that sounds a lot like Boss Radio.
Yeah.
And that's where they got it. It wasn't called Boss Radio. But...
Let me reintroduce. This guy's a gift. His name is Woody, and his last name is spelled G-O-U-L-A-R-T. And I love listening to old radio stories and collecting them. And a lot of these guys I met Wolfman Bob Smith because of my mentor, Bob Lee, the Rockin' Rebel. And they spent the time I was with them, we were doing narcotics, and they were telling stories about Mexican radio. So it was a great night for me. But those guys and the Wolfman, I never knew, and it reappears in graffiti. they had their studios were where, but the sticks in Tijuana, right?
Yeah, right across the border. I mean, not like 10 feet across, no. But the ID used to say Rosarita, which I guess is a community, part of Tijuana, Mexico. But you know, Mexico's rules about radio are very different
yes.
from the U.S., and they can broadcast just, you know, like all across the U.S. Boss Radio, KHJ, was at 930 kilohertz, and it didn't go outside the Los Angeles area because AM radio in those days, as today, doesn't travel as far as FM travels.
He said, they told me 150,000 watts.
Yeah, it was illegal in the U.S.
Yes.
to be more than a, what is it?
50.
But now it doesn't matter. You don't even...
No, it doesn't.
You don't even need a transmitter. Think of the possibilities. You just, you know, you do... I do a podcast today.
Yeah.
It's stunning how the world of technology changed so much. But anyway, Boss Radio, legendary.
Where do you place the wolf? I mean, where do you put Wolfman?
Well, you mentioned the movie American Graffiti.
Yes.
And George Lucas, who made that film, I don't know, he had a good sense. I should say present tense. He has a good sense of what is culture, what's popular. Quentin Tarantino did a similar number on Boss Radio KHJ. If you see the movie that he made, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I have many times, and I love it.
Yeah, and that is it's very much like American Graffiti, not in the story, but in the way that it uses an actual radio station.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Actually, in American Graffiti, it wasn't, I don't know if they ever said, oh, this is XYZ or whatever, the station. But on Quentin's film, you get to hear KHJ Los Angeles, legal ID, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And that, if people don't know anything about it, they need to see that movie. That explains it better. And, you know, you just get so immersed in it. It was a stunning accomplishment.
Have you ever seen a film, and I tell people to watch it, the title of the film is Telling Lies in America. Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't.
Write it down. It is the best disc jockey movie I've ever seen. The guy that wrote Showgirls, I can't think of his name, and he did all that work. He was an immigrant kid from Cleveland. And I think it's real. It's a real what happened to him. He becomes the take guy for a top 40 jock. He receives the payoffs. So when push comes to shove, the jock never really touches the money. And it's about his being an immigrant. But it's a sleeper, and it got no attention at all. And when I saw it, I said, this is I was raised by those guys in the business, and that was as close as I've ever seen to anything that told the truth. Did you ever watch a film called American Hot Wax about Alan Freed?
Yeah.
See, and what do you think about that?
See, I mentioned I got a degree in journalism. We had to study as part of, you know, if you do a major in a subject like journalism, and I studied broadcasting, you learn about Alan Freed, and you learn about, you know, he was portrayed as a bad guy in Paola, which was, you know, people bribed radio personalities and whatever to play their songs, and that's how life was. And I don't know, is it the same when you look at the hip hop industry today?
Oh man,
who knows? You know, I don't know.
No, I hear you hear stories, but I worked, our music director in the first hit station I was ever on. He was the music director, which is an interesting job. And he had a plaque on his wall, and it said, Alan Freed died for your sins. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And we were talking with the young guys. I said, the reason that the I believe the reason that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland is because of Alan Freed.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. Why would it be Cleveland?
It's Alan Freed.
Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, that's my belief. Yeah,
that makes sense. That really does. And I got to work with the real Don Steele.
Wow!
It all appeared to my eyes at the top of the hour as you introed your show to hear recordings of his voice and then the singing jingles of KHJ. Oh, man. When I knew this guy personally in Hollywood, the studio was at actually on Sunset Boulevard. Can you believe?
Can't get any better.
Cannot.
No.
He was a joy. He was a real, sorry to be ironic.
No, please.
He was a real guy. He was real on the radio. He was, it was an act. He didn't have a voice. I mean, he had a voice that if you listened carefully, you could hear the way he would talk on his show.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very down to earth. And most of the other people, I would say, I don't know, let me pick a percentage, 90-something percent, 97% of the radio people I knew were not very nice guy.
No.
what a surprise. What a surprise.
Oh.
But Steel, oh, man, he was so nice to me. I was nobody. I was 23 years old when I met him.
This is great. Great radio. I was in Washington, D.C., and I was covering, I was sent back as a talk show host for George W. Bush's first inaugural. And we worked out of a radio station there. And I meet this old guy, and I said, hey, I'm Peter Boyles, and he, like this just shaking hands guy. And he said, I'm Johnny Dark. And I look at him, and he said, I'm the real Johnny Dark. Because how many Johnny Darks do you think there were?
Oh, I know. Well, and Steele, his real name was Donald Steele Revert, R-E-V-E-R-T.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really, can you imagine going through life as Mr. Revert? It's like, oh, bad name, baby. So,
I
don't know.
Everybody. I mean, I, my name's my name, but the jock guys, I broke in as a writer and then as a traffic reporter, and I worked with a guy whose name on the air was Night Smoke. That was his name. You want to go like, and he'd get mad. He had a real name, but he was Night Smoke, and and people used to make jokes about, well, what are you and Mrs. Smoke going to do this weekend? But
we're smoking.
Oh, how many knockoffs do you think on smoking there were? He had every one of them. I want to keep you two for about two more hours. So can I put you on hold and we'll do a couple things and come back? This is great radio, at least for an old guy like me. It's Saturday morning. Lou, put him on hold. Thank you. David Ellis, Cherry Creek, you've heard me talk about taking your valuables to David Ellis Jewelers to get fortunes in cash and secure appraisals from David for all the valuables you have tucked away in your home. Still true? Sure, these reasons to see David, just in case you don't have a Rolex watch, a rare coin set, silver tea set. Go see David for all the most meaningful gift-giving occasions. David is my guy. David Ellis Jewelers, the right item, just the right price for special people that it means the most. An antique watch, an emerald bracelet, a pendant, gold necklace, diamond rings. Trusted jeweler who has been buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades. Dazzling cases filled with hundreds of new and used pieces your loved ones will treasure. Visit David Ellis Jewelers and see for yourself. See the man, Black Awning, on the corner of 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek. He's there 6 days a week. Explore davidellisjewelry.com. It's E-L-L-I-S. Or call my friend David Ellis at 303-322-8779, 303-322-8779, and tell him Peter Boyle sent you. Allman Brothers. There you go. 77 the high today, and 83 Sunday, Monday, 82 degrees on a Saturday, September the 16th, 2023, with an absolute remarkable guest. I mean, I got to thank Cousin Louie. He booked it. I love old radio stories. I love living through some of it, and people all grew up around it, so it's important. Woody, and Woody's last name is spelled G-O-U-L-A-R-T, go Lart, and we're talking, I mean, it had Boss Radio. Who comes up with the term Boss Radio or Boss Jocks? Where's that come from?
Well, the name was credited to a guy who was working also in San Francisco with Bill Drake. And the guy, you ready for this? You got to write this one down.
All right.
Clancy is his first name. Imusland, I-M-U-S-L-A-N-D, or L-I-N-D. You've heard of Don Imus. Well, the last name on this guy is Imusland. It's pronounced differently. Who cares? This will be on the test. So Clancy came up with Boss Radio, which was kind of a cliche in the 60s. Because it was from the surfing world. It meant something was cool, something was, here's another word, groovy.
Yeah. It's all true.
And it's all true. And I don't know why it stuck. Now we have a thing called Bose Radio, B-O-S-E. So if you run a search online for Boss Radio, you'll end up with Bose Radio, B-O-S-E. And that's not it at all. Boss, different letter, you know. One letter off, and it stuck, and it worked in 1965 in Los Angeles, spread to San Francisco, elsewhere, many radio stations in the RKO radio chain had that format, Boston also, in Canada, Windsor, Ontario, suburb of Detroit, all good stuff.
And nobody, or maybe, because I don't know, nobody really owned any of this. In other words, could if you became a boss jock in Denver or a boss jock in Pittsburgh, you didn't have to pay anybody to be that guy.
No, well, no. The name, now they copyright everything, you know, or trademark, I should say, everything. But Boss Radio in the 1960s, nobody paid the fee to trademark it. I was told somebody, I don't know if this is real or not, maybe you do, in Denver, K-I-M-N was Boss Radio.
Oh, big time.
In the 60s. Is that true? I don't know.
And it was before my time, but I have a friendship with a really wonderful jock, the best top 40 guy I've ever heard, just as a top 40 disc jock. His name is Hal Moore. And Hal worked there. A handful of guys that many of them are gone now, but Kim Radio, this is again before my time, they allegedly had like the shares of the market that were overwhelming. And that it was big, it was Boss Radio. And,
yeah.
And they were the boss jocks. And, and one of the things that I remember as a kid and disc jockeys could make money coming to, one time called sock hops or hops or, you know, those things. And you'd go to see the guy because you'd listen to him. And here's some guy that looks like me, and he's got the greatest voice in the world. You know?
Yeah.
And why were they – why? Here's a question I've asked myself 1,000 times. Why were you drawn into this business? Is it really is a cowboy business?
Well, and as I said, I listened in San Luis Obispo, California, in the 1950s to Mac, the Scotch Hillbilly. It was cowboy songs,
mm-hmm.
Streets of Laredo.
Oh, yeah. Just
in my heart, very deep. So I wanted to be an air personality, radio personality. And actually, you know, so you get a degree. I got a degree in journalism, and that means, you know, news writing. And I was a writer. I wrote news. I worked in, I did documentary radio in Hollywood on See, KHJ was before my time, but I worked at AIQQ.
Wow.
The worst call letters ever. And that was what they chose because it was at 100.7 FM. So they wanted to be K100.
Yeah.
Then Gabbard in San Francisco at K101, AIOI San Francisco, Legal ID, thank you very much. And so people picked KIQQ, and that's where I met Bill Drake. I was there before Bill Drake, and then they came in. They fired everybody.
Yeah.
I was the production guy. They kept me.
Yeah.
I was on the air, too, but I didn't have the best voice. I don't sound like the real Don Steele. Tina Delgado is alive.
Yeah.
No one knows what that means. No one knows what that means.
Oh,
now, you say that you think radio is faltering. I thought this when I first wrote about Boss Radio. I thought, you know, this was in the 70s when I wrote about Boss Radio, which was from the 60s. And here we are a million years later. And why are we talking about Boss Radio? Does anyone care? Anyone under the age of what, 50? Do they care?
I go up against that all the time. How, you know, what counts? But when, and my mentor, he was the Rockin' Rebel, WJBK Detroit, Bob Lee, and he came out here, and it's sort of a long story, but I ended up, we did a two-man morning show on KLAK Radio. It was a country station, first hit show I've ever was involved in, and yet surrounding us were all of these old legends. God, they were probably 50, 40, late 40s. A guy named Uncle Mike McEwen, my mentor Bob Lee, Lindsay English. And so we would have jock meetings, and you've been through jock meetings.
Yeah.
And actually, a jock meeting just becomes these guys are drinking beer and telling stories. And they had wonderful stories. And Bob knew everybody and in Motown because he was in Detroit, and he literally knew Berry Gordy, and he knew Stevie Wonder, and he knew the Tops and the Temps, and they would go to hops with him. They go to you know, when he would go out on his own, and they'd do record shows, and they made tons of money under the table, and I thought to myself, what a time. And his real name, his birth name was Bob Lee, Robert E. Lee.
But all right, can't get better than
can't
that.
Get, and then he becomes the Rockin' Rebel, and he told me about when the Beatles showed up. I mean, that was one of his big moments when he said, "Here." And I know from reading Cousin Brucey and those guys where they, they went through changes. Speak to that if you would.
Yeah, I was, well, all right. So I mentioned I had a degree, have a degree in journalism from Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo. And then I went to work in L.A., Hollywood, and that's where I met Del Drake and all the legionnaires. No, what's the word? Legendary people like Don Steele, W. Morgan, and so forth. So I interviewed all these people was because I went to get my master's degree at Humboldt, which is now called Cal Poly Humboldt. And I convinced the people at Humboldt to approve Woody doing original research about this thing called Boss Radio. So in Humboldt, Eureka, California, is hundreds, 5 hours drive just to San Francisco from where I was. So I went to San Francisco, interviewed people there in the radio biz, and then I went to Los Angeles, and I went to San Diego, and I was just 22 at the time, and people talked to me. I don't know why. Why would they talk to me? I was from Eureka, California. Who cares, you know? So, but it turns out I'm the only guy or girl to write about radio. And so I told the truth as I saw it. I wrote about it. The book, it's a book-length study. I published it on Amazon. Someone wants to search for it. Woody Goulart, G-O-U-L-A-R-T. Operators are standing by. I'm not here to sell a book.
What about the tagline? But wait, there's more.
There's more. Refrigerator and a trip to Bermuda.
Oh, man. Well, you had to learn how to sell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was... And those guys, they called it pitching. And I mean, the guys that I was around as a kid growing up in the business, and we got to pitch this spot, or we got to pitch this or pitch that. And you'd go off with, I mean, I can't even imagine in L.A. when they were going out on sales calls and they're working on Sunset Boulevard and, you know, and they're out, you know, selling a car dealer.
Yeah.
I mean, I got stories. I'm trying to write about it, but part of it is you can't tell a lot of the stuff you just can't tell on the air. It's big, you're going to give people up.
Yeah. Well, and then in real life, in the real world, yeah. You know, people use language that would not be permitted on the radio or TV. If it's streaming, it's fine because you're not under the regulations of the FCC. Yeah. But we people very salty language. You know, when I first came to Los Angeles, I expected I was told, oh, Woody, you're going to find all these immoral people. There'll be wives swapping and druggies. And, you know, my heart was broken. I longed to see wives swapping, and I never did. Can you believe it? I was brokenhearted. I'm kidding. Well,
au contraire, I did see that. We talked about the 3-day Christmas parties and, you know, just stuff that was, and I was more than willing participant. Let's go, you know, but I'd been a traffic reporter, a writer for the traffic reports, and then I got to be the on-air guy, and then I got a gig and a 50,000 watt daytimer that was, call letters were CAT radio, K-A-A-T, the big cat of the Rockies. And I just fell in love with it. I mean, it was just like, I can't explain it to people. I try and explain it that. And one of the things, because I'm going to keep you into the next hour if we can. But one of the things that so troubles me, because you were around Bill Drake and Jacobs and all those guys, and locally I was around Hal Moore and Uncle Mike and Bob Lee, and I give you the list. And now today, the people who have come into this business, I use a term called radio guys. They're radio guys. I know where I work now, there's one or two real radio guys, and the rest of them aren't radio guys, but
yeah.
I just heard you say, yeah, speak to that.
Well, all right. In the, I did the study, in the 70s, about Bill Drake, Gene Chenault, Ron Jacobs, famous names. Well, maybe not so famous, but I don't believe today in 2023 that young people should devote their lives to radio. I just do not. I urge them explicitly on my website not to go into the radio biz, because as you said in the previous hour, talk radio is faltering, music radio is faltering. The reason why radio, Boss Radio in 1965 was so successful was the music. Simple.
I agree.
And now, you know, and it was the transmission of culture, if you want to get lucky. That's what radio did.
I agree.
It told people what was good. You know, why would anyone know of Sonny and Cher or the Beach Boys if you didn't hear them on the radio?
I agree.
That's how nowadays You don't need radio.
Let me curveball you with a question. This is out of the depths of talk radio minds. I thought about this, and I may use it as an on-air. If the media didn't talk about the virus, would we have all been afraid? If the media hadn't talked about COVID, you know, day in and day out about COVID, would COVID have been as important as it was?
I'm sure you're right. I don't think it would have
been. I don't either.
I mean, how would we have known? I first heard of COVID in, I don't know, February of 2020.
Yep.
And I'm in Las Vegas, so, you know, it's not the center of the world. Sadly, I report Las Vegas is not the center of the world. You heard it here first. So when I learned about COVID in early 2020, it was like, what? What is this?
Yes.
And, you know, Trump was president at the time, and he started, for a time anyway, saying the Chinese virus, right? Because it came from China. And then he started saying Kung Fu, which is, you don't do that. It's a racist thing, and it's cruel and demeaning.
I still hear it on this radio station, and it's just stupid. First of all, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's stupid.
No, I met someone. I was on a bus. Yes, Woody rides the bus.
Yeah.
I was on a bus, and there was a woman younger than me who said, you know, the Chinese created COVID.
Yeah, I know.
Spread it to the world. And I was like, really? How do you know? Yeah. How many trips to China have you made to look into this?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never been.
Yeah.
I've never left Las Vegas. It's like, okay, have a beer. Shut up.
Sit down.
Leave me alone. So, yes, the media spread the word.
Yeah, it did.
And now, today, we blame, I don't, but others blame Dr. Fauci.
Yeah. And eventually radio is morphs. And when it starts out in, actually, where I grew up in Pittsburgh, I think they do the Harding won the election as the first broadcast. But it goes through the legendary golden age, and it goes to big bands, and then it ends up at top 40. And top 40, I think, and again, it has to do with, let me break and we'll come back and take it there, because I think what you said about, you know, we're watching the end of it, and that breaks my heart. I mean, it literally breaks my heart. I was in the boss's office on Friday, and we're swapping stories about when radio was, I guess, maybe is a way to say it. But, man, we had us a time.
Yeah, we did.
Hang on. Put him on hold. Saturday morning, I'm Peter Boyles. He said he was 24 years of age, and Woody walks in. The Boss Radio. 710 KNUS, I'm Peter Boyles. MC1 is next Sunday. 77 the high, 83 tomorrow. Stay here. That's J Mac, another radio legend, and that was Kim when Kim was Boss Radio. Good morning, everyone. Saturday, September the 16th, Peter Boyle, 710 KNUS. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. And thanks to Cousin Louie, he finds Woody Gohlert, who is on the radio with us about, he's written about and participated in what was called Boss Radio. And you ask about Kim Radio. That was a drop from Kim Radio. And in the 60s, and there was a guy named J Mac who, he ruled the roost for a long time too. And you're absolutely right. They were Boss Radio. We're close to doing a turnaround at the top of the hour. What dates do you put on Boss Radio? I asked you this before, but what's the demise or the end?
Well, all right. So the beginning is easy. It's May 1965, Los Angeles, Hollywood, the suburb of Hollywood. KHJ was located in Hollywood on Melrose. You've heard of that?
Oh, sure.
I worked in Hollywood on Sunset Boulevard in the year 1973.
Wow.
And so that's, I was 23. You do it backwards, I would have been 15 or 14 in 1965. So I never heard Boss Radio live on the air because I lived 200 miles away. So it began in May 65, and it ended roughly 1969. By the time the 70s rolled along, the name Boss Radio was not as favored. It was old-fashioned, quote-unquote, considered in those days. So it's roughly 65 to 69.
It is interesting because it's also then the height of Vietnam, the height of Richard Nixon, Watergate, and it wasn't cool. And I talk about the arrival of FM. And I'm involved as a writer and eventually become the on-air traffic reporter. But there was such a division street between AM and FM. And in Denver, they broke it up, but there was KLZ Television, that's now KMGH, which is McGraw-Hill, and there was an AM and an FM. And there was KLZ AM, KLZ FM, and the FM jocks and the AM on-airs hated each other. I mean, these guys are playing Jimi Hendrix, and the other guys are playing Raindrops Are Falling on My Head.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that when we come back on the other side?
Yes.
And pick it up. All right. Lou, if you would put them on hold, we'll play those opens again. I'm Peter Boyles. This is 710 KNUS. We are Denver's talk station. And don't forget, next Sunday is MC1, the honor run for the police officers and fallen officers. Top 40 Radio, Boss Radio. We got a lot more cuts and a great guest. 710 KNUS. It is a Saturday.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.